God was drinking tea. Now, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Sometimes my family, we go on a road trip, we're driving down the freeway, and I'm a bit of an extrovert, my wife's an introvert, so I'm talking away while I'm driving. Okay, I'm driving the car, got it on cruise control, I can focus on what I'm communicating to my wife. And I'm talking for 5 minutes, talking. It's very important to me what I'm saying to my wife. We know this as extroverts, what we're saying is very important. Every word is very important. I'm speaking this out to my wife. And then I get to the end of what I say, and then I finally say to my wife, and what do you think? And she says, full of compassion and grace, she looks over to me and says, pardon, sweetie, I wasn't listening. See, when I speak to my wife, sometimes my wife listens. All right? Let me say something. When God speaks, it's significant, yeah? When God says something to us, we better well listen, yeah? When God speaks, we want to hear it. We want to hear what God says. we hear lots of voices in the world today. You know, we watch TV and we might watch different, we even might watch different news programs depending on which way we lean philosophically. And we might watch Channel 10 or 7. We might go to ABC for assuming it's more balanced. We might listen to that. We might, listen to Channel 10 news. We all listen to different voices. We read different books and we read different magazines and we hear different voices. We might even listen to our parents occasionally, or our kids might even listen to us and all of that. But ultimately, the voice that we need to hear and respond to above all other voices is the voice of God. Amen? When God speaks, we need to be able to hear it, hear what God is saying. Praise the Lord. See, there is people I think about in the scriptures that, you know, Saul, we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, when Saul's going along his everyday life and all of a sudden, Jesus comes and speaks to him and says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And the voice of Jesus transformed Saul's life into Paul, and he became the Apostle Paul. When God spoke to Jonah, Jonah was wandering around and God spoke to Jonah to go to Nineveh. When God speaks to people, it's significant. When God speaks to Gideon, Gideon's a little bit depressed because the Midianites are attacking him, and God comes and speaks to him via an angel. It says, God is with you, mighty warrior. When God speaks, God can transform our lives. Now, we may have other people that speak to us and we get encouraged, and Mother's Day, we say words of affirmation and we write letters, but when God speaks, things can happen significantly in our lives. Praise the Lord. You can say amen to that if you want. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's have a look. I love this scripture. If you've got a Bible, why don't you open it up? Because the Word of God is powerful and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. If you've got a Bible, make some noise this morning. Awesome. Come on, a few more people need to bring your Word to church. Ezekiel 37 says this. The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel was writing this letter, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So you've got this valley of dry bones. And Ezekiel is hearing from God. God is saying to him, prophesy. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, I will make breath into you and you will come to life. So look at what is dead and lifeless and speak words into it. Now, God may speak words to us. And the words that he gives us when we speak it to other people have power and are significant. So God speaks words to us, okay? And when we begin to speak God's words to others, we can prophesy to dry bones and they come alive, yeah? Come on, we can speak words of life to people in our community and they can go from being lifeless and dry kind of bones, they can come alive. God can transform them through the words that we speak. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we can prophesy. We can prophesy to situations. We can speak into situations that are lifeless. We can speak into dry situations. We can speak into difficult circumstances, and God can breathe the power of the Holy Spirit into that situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, God, when God speaks, it's significant. And when we speak the words that God gives us, it has the power to transform people's lives. Praise the Lord. So Ezekiel prophesies to these dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And then it says in verse 10, so I prophesied. Do you know what it means to prophesy? Yeah, to prophesy is just to speak God's word, isn't it? To speak a word, you know, a word that God is laying on your heart. To prophesy is to speak that out. So Ezekiel prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When God says something to us, we need to hold on to it. When God says something to us, we need to grab a hold of that, write it down in a journal, and ponder it. Over the years, people have spoken words to me. They've prophesied words, and I've written it down. And in fact, I have a little folder on my email list of little emails, and the folder says prophetic words, not pathetic words. All right, that's another folder. That's prophetic words. And occasionally, when I'm feeling a little bit down, I remind myself of what the Lord has spoken over my life. When I'm feeling a little bit down, I read these words and I remember what God has spoken to me. Praise the Lord. So, sitting around the dinner table, we're having sausages and veggies. And, you know, the normal conversation happens. Eat your veggies. If you don't eat your veggies, you're not leaving the table. You know, all that sort of stuff. Do you guys do that? Is it just me? If you don't eat your veggies, you're not getting any ice cream. If you don't eat your veggies, I don't know, we just make up stuff. You don't eat your veggies, you're not, whatever, watching TV for 6 months. 6 months! Oh, and they eat their veggies. We're sitting at the table, and I say to them, it's on a Wednesday night, and I say to the kids, on Saturday, we should go to the park. Now, have any parents said stupid things like that before without thinking? Yeah? Because once you say it, now it doesn't matter that I said should, we should go to the park on Saturday. So that's Wednesday night. Thursday goes along, I'm working, doing some admin, you know, lots of things to do. Gets to Friday, think, gee, I've got a busy day on Saturday. Friday night, Shekinah comes up to me, little seven-year-old, and says, are we going to the park on Saturday? And I'll say, huh? What do you mean? You said, you said Wednesday night that we were going to the park. I say, I can't remember saying that. But Daddy, you said. Daddy, you said we're going to the park. And who knows that I need to follow through on that promise now, yeah? Otherwise, there's a little bit of tension there in the family. But when God says something, we are allowed, I think, to hold God accountable to fulfilling what he already said to us. Yeah, when God says something to us and we don't see it happening, I think we're well within our right to say, but you said. Let me give you an example. Joseph had a dream. He had a dream, remember, that his family would bow down to him. Yeah, and he was silly enough to go up to his brothers and tell them, hey, guys, I had a dream that you guys would bow down to me. Well, they didn't like that. He also had another dream, and he shared the similar thing. And guess what? They threw him down a well. Joseph had had this dream that he was going to be a person of influence, a leader of some sort. But then we know the story of Joseph, and at some point he got thrown in jail. Now, wait a minute. Joseph's sitting in jail, and I'm thinking, I reckon this is what Joseph would be saying. God, you said this. Many years ago, many moons ago, you said, God, you said, how come I'm not seeing it fulfilled yet? And I think we're well within our right to look at what God says to us and say, God, you said you were going to bless me. I want to experience that blessing. You said that you were going to give me life to the fullest. Well, I'm not experiencing it at the moment, but God, you said it. We need to declare to the dry bones that they would come alive. We need to understand that when God says something, it has power to transform our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, what's that? Come on, give us some cheer. Come on, give some praise. Don't hold back, because when God says something, it has significance, yeah? When God says something, it can transform our lives. And some of us need to hold on to what God has said to us, because sometimes we live in a situation where we don't see it coming to pass. God, you promised. You promised family. You promised that our family would be reconciled. You promised that I'd get the finances together. You said, God, you said. And I think if God said it, then God's going to bring it to come to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's time to declare the promises of God that God has spoken to us. God has said that he loves us. God has said that he has a plan for our life. God has said that he would never leave us or forsake us. And I picture a friend of mine were painting their house, right? And they were painting their house. They put the masking tape around the windows. They're painting their house. They half finished the painting to the house, and they got busy doing other things. Okay, they half finished the painting, and over time they'd forgotten about the fact that the painting of the house was only half finished, right? So they're entering the house each day thinking about, oh, I've got to really finish that painting. A couple of weeks go by, and they begin to not notice that the front of the house is only half finished, okay? So a couple of weeks go by, and they forget that the house is only half finished. And then they begin to live in a house where the front of the house is only half painted. And some time goes by where they totally forget and totally become oblivious to the fact that the painting on the house is only half finished. And this is what I think has happened for many of us as Christians. We have adopted half of what God says about us. And we've got to the point where we've become okay and complacent enough to just kind of go with a mediocre, half-hearted version of what God says to us. Because life gets difficult, and then we get to the point where we say, well, obviously that's not going to come to pass. And then we kind of settle into this mediocre, half-hearted version of what God has for us. But we need to embrace all that God says to us. We need to think about what God says to us. Because when God speaks, it is significant. And he speaks through the Word. He speaks by the Holy Spirit. He might speak through other people to us. And when God speaks, we need to listen and embrace it in the name of Jesus. So I ask you, what has God said to you? What has God spoken into your life? What promises has God spoken that maybe you've given up on? What are the things that God has said that maybe you've just settled for half and less than what God wants to give you? Has God spoke words into your life? Has God spoken words into your life? And if so, what were they and what are they? And will you embrace them? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. And the Spirit of God came and breathed life into these bones. And they came up and they became a vast army. Praise the Lord. I had a word I was thinking of during the week. I had the word budge. Everyone say the word budge. And I looked up the word budge. It's normally used in a negative tone, but the word budge means to begin to move. And it means to start to move. And I felt like God wants to say to the church, not just this church, but the Salvation Army and the church across Australia, that it's time to budge. But the fact is, well, quite often the church has said, I'm not going to budge. Use my word. Use the word budge. I'm not going to budge. The style of music, I'm not going to budge. The methodology that we use, I'm not going to budge. The seat that I sit in, I'm not going to budge. And then the minister changes the seats around and, I have to budge. I have to begin to move. God wants the church to begin to move forward into this community to make a difference in the name of Jesus. But so often Christians have said, I'm not going to budge. And the world moves around about the church. And God speaks and says, I want you to budge. I want you to move. I want you to move into a society that's shifting and moving. Because if we don't, then we become this old version of an ecclesiastical structure that is no longer relevant to a culture that has moved on many years before. Come on, don't be quiet on me this morning. God says to us that it's time to budge. It's time to move. And even in our own lives, it's time to move. It's time to move into the promises that God has for us. But I don't want to budge. He's calling me forward again to respond, but I don't want to budge. But if you want to fulfill the fullness of what God has for you, you need to step into all that God has for your life. In Jesus' name. You need to step into it. Otherwise, you will find yourself living in an environment that has moved on and you're still in the same place. In the same place, in the same chair, with the same paradigms of thinking that you've had for years. And that doesn't matter whether you're old or young, because I've seen young people with old ways of thinking. Let me tell you that. I've seen all ages. I'm talking about age. I'm just talking about a mindset that God wants to give you. Praise the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord, and maybe God is speaking to someone this morning. Even if I'm speaking to one person, I don't know. We need to move. I believe that the Word of God is telling us that we need to move. We need to move forward into the purposes of God. We can't be content with where we're at, even as a church. Even if we, say, sit at 60, 70 people on a Sunday morning, we can't be content with that. William Booth once said, I don't want another ecclesiastical corps encumbering the earth. When the Salvation Army ceases to be a militant body of red-hot men and women whose business is the saving of souls, I hope it will vanish utterly. I don't want another corps encumbering the earth. We don't need another church that sits on the corner hoping that its architecture might draw people into its building. Come on. We don't need another church that just sits by the wayside hoping that one day someone will come in and consume the products that we offer them. We don't need another church, another core encumbering the earth. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. It's time to budge. It's time to move into all that God has for our lives and for the life of our church and for the sake of this community in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, why don't we stand on our feet?